for a while.
The discussions, as far as I know, started with the DOT trying to address issues, safety issues, obviously, with the blades going south and going up 218. And then there was so much discussion about leaving the plant. The DOT and Siemens got in, got their heads together and come up with this slip. And then we were involved with it from Highway 61 Commission and also the county. I think Ben has been on the front of this as well as the Conservation Commission. And the Highway 61 Commission had no problem with it. And so I know that Ben has been discussing with the DOT, and it's certainly a traffic safety issue. I filmed it several times in going north to Burlington meetings, or and it was definitely a boondoggle.
You know, just a question, Flug, and not to get off on something else here, Ben, but how about the interchange of 61 and 218? Has that ever been looked at as well?
I believe so, Matt. I don't know of imminent plans there, but as I understand, they were looking at four intersections in all between the plant and Mount Pleasant. And but I don't know if all of those are needed, but the one at 61 and 218 definitely. There are some conceptual things to improve that intersection for these blades as well. One thing, it seems like every time you get on a call with the folks from Siemens, they've always got a longer blade in the works. You know, there's always 1, 2, or 4, or 8 meters longer that they're going to be producing next year.
Okay, thank you.
Well, this is Ron again, and I think that Ben and the county, we've had a good relationship with the DOT, and you know, we could vote and say no, and then you know they could come in and do eminent domain, and I would rather work with them and do it, you know, this way rather than going that route. And so, like I said, I have had no comments either for or against it. Does anybody have any more discussion in public hearing on this?
I would move that we close the public hearing.
Okay.
Second, Folio.
Okay, we have a motion and second to close the public hearing. Is there any further discussion before we do? Okay, roll call.
Flug.
Aye.
Folio.
Aye.
Carlo.
Aye.
Larkin.
Aye.
Fedler.
Aye. Motion carried. Okay, the next item on the agenda, consider approval of resolution approving the sale of property to the Iowa Department of Transportation.
Folio, so move.
Flug, second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the resolution of the sale of the property to the Iowa Department of Transportation. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Folio.
Aye.
Luke.
Aye.
Carlo.
Aye.
Larkin.
Aye.
Fedler.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you, everybody. Okay, the next item on the agenda is public input. This is the opportunity for anybody in the public that would like to talk to the board on anything that is not on the agenda can now so do. And the secretary said she needs your name for the minutes.
Okay, I would like to make a presentation.
Who is that? Done.
Okay, my name is Valerie Natoli. I reside at 3029 Timber Lane Drive. And what I would like to discuss is the county not giving the city of Fort Madison the right of way on 303 Avenue and X32 for a proposed. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. I have a statement. I think I'm going to scroll in because this is awful. I can't hear you.
Wait a minute. Right now we recognize. And that's orderly. And Valerie, you have the floor.
If you're not speaking, mute your. Yeah, you. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 callers. If you can please mute your phones. Star six.
Okay. Someone else can go ahead. I'm going to call in on this issue. If that's okay. I think the audio will be better.
Yeah, no, we can hear you now.
Is your audio clear? Because I'm getting feedback.
Yeah, no, we can. Yeah, everybody muted their phone. Yes, now everybody's muted. So go ahead, Valerie.
Okay, one of the statements I've been given permission to read is from Frank and Eunice Nolte, who live at 3028 Timber Lane Drive. And they say, we are opposed to having the Fort Madison Community Hospital Trail built along the county 303 Avenue for the following reasons. Safety would be unsafe because of the amount and speed of the traffic. Since the construction of the bypass, we have noticed an increase in the amount of traffic on this section of the highway. Much of the traffic does not observe the speed limit during periods of heavy traffic, especially late afternoons. It's often like a racetrack. The shoulders along the highway are too narrow to keep walkers a safe distance from the traffic. To us, it is a recipe for disaster. The second issue is a comment on privacy. We move to the country for the peace and privacy it offered. If the trail were to be built almost in our backyard, both peace and privacy will be gone. We wonder how many of the trail committee would enjoy having people walking through their yard. Thirdly, that she considers it a nuisance. We are not anxious to have even more trash to pick up in our yard. Loads of trash headed for the landfill create more than enough. People do not obey the park your load requirement, which apparently is not enforced. We think the trail is a wonderful idea for Fort Madison, but not at this location. And then respectfully submitted by Frank and Eunice Nolte, 3028 Timber Lane Drive. I have my own comment I'd like to make quickly. And first of all, I'd like to thank the county for the opportunity to participate in this. Secondly, I also want to thank them for the job they do. Again, my comment is about not approving the use of the right-of-way or surrendering right-of-way by the county of the city of Fort Madison for this planned 10-foot-wide concrete walk path along County Road 303 Avenue X32. It's not the city. Reason, first of all, is safety, which I think has been expressed by another resident up here in Timber Lane as well through a different voice. But the traffic is heavy. The vehicles are heavy-duty vehicles, semi-trailers, 18-wheel, garbage trucks, dump trucks, campers, food trailers, farm equipment, and on. And the proximity to Highway 61, the jump makes it a heavy traffic road. It's a narrow road. It impedes on the county's ability, I would believe, the employees and the equipment in the performance of their normal, their seasonal, and their emergency services to the area and the roadway. I also have a concern because of the history of accidents, fatalities, vehicular and pedestrian on this same stretch of road. There's also a liability issue. That I don't think the county wants to pick up if somebody gets hurt down there, which it's not if, it's when. And the city doesn't seem to want to monitor it. And it's not my property, so I don't have to, but you're within like 30 feet of my property. But the liability issue is a big issue because I don't think the, and if somebody gets hurt, somebody's going to sue everybody. It's just the way it goes these days. The crime rate. If you look at Fort Madison's crime rate, all we're doing with a 10-foot path is inviting more crime. It's just giving it another place to go. I looked at the incidences and they kind of had them on the walk pass would be utilized. The city public works already said that they cannot maintain it. They don't know how they're going to market it. And I'm not even sure if that's the physical maintenance of it or the fiscal maintenance, meaning the money end of it. They have the money, they want to spend it. Nobody's opposed to a walk pass. It's not up in that area. First of all, it's a you're going into the county. It's unfortunate that your park is out there in the city ways out, but we live in the county and we live in the county for a reason. We like the county services and we appreciate the county peace and quiet. It also will create, again, a nuisance, the additional noise, pets, and we will have pet feces and urine and everything else too, because people will be walking their dogs on that path. The other thing is the concern is that the county ordinance on ATVs, UTVs, and golf carts expires December 31st. If you give right-of-way to the city, they have an ordinance also that lets all their ATVs, UTVs, and their golf carts all over every street that they've got. Does that mean they have a right-of-way on that path? That's a chance I don't want to take because it'll be like a racetrack going up and down. This weekend, we had an incident of a brush fire right there at 303, right below where the Nolte's live. It was on the county right-of-way. It was a fire, and Mark Fire Police had to respond to put it out. And a Fort Madison uniformed officer in an unmarked car happened to come by at that time. And he picked up at least a half a dozen syringes at that site, two of which I believe had the needle still in them. Again, this is going to be a hazard these people are going to find as well. I just don't think it's a good idea for that area. And I think many of the residents up here are opposed to it coming up this area. So I've heard from people on the avenues down below that are going to be impacted, the sidewalks and their liability to maintain those areas. I don't want it. We didn't look there for that reason. And so thank you for listening to me. And I'm hoping that you seriously consider the people who will be impacted, as well as people who will probably sooner or later get hurt or injured in doing such a procedure. Thank you very much.
Okay, I know a lot of that what you were saying kind of broken up. And Larry, are you on your speakerphone?
I've got the phone turned off. Do I need to turn off the mic?
Because we're getting a bunch of back, you know, which is drowning out a lot of what you were saying.
This is Nancy Booth. Can I speak now?
Sure.
Okay, I am speaking as a resident of Timber Lane Drive, and I'm going to agree with Valerie. I'm all for trails. My husband walks the rodeo every day, and he thoroughly enjoys it. However, I don't think this location is safe. We have had a resident killed. It was one of our neighbor's daughters was killed along that road years ago. And I took pictures. There are ruts along there all the time. So cars are going off there all the time. I think it's a big safety issue. I also see a lot of trash along the roadway already. And I just think we're opening it up for a worse area for the residents, especially the weekend. But my main concern is the safety. I don't think it's a safe area along that highway to have a walking trail. Thank you.
Okay, we're still under public input. Anybody else have anything they'd like to talk about or just add to?
I'd like to add
to my name's Rachel Bender.
That on that rodeo park deal for that grant money, it says rodeo park. It doesn't say it has to go up 15th Street on 303 to the park. So I think they might want to go back and ask the foundation maybe for a little bit more money, and maybe they can find a better way to do it. That's safer in the long run. But all the statements just said rodeo park. They did not say what direction they had to take to do it.
Okay. Anybody else have anything?
My name is Rachel Bendick, but I speak.
Go ahead, Rachel.
Okay, thank you. I am a port committee trail. We've worked really hard to get trails connected and going in our community, and I understand some of the safety concerns and things they brought up today. I would just urge you to work with the foundation with their large donation. I can tell you how hard it is to raise the little amount of money compared to what they have donated for the two trails that we currently have and the third that will be underway. It's a lot of hard work, and we're doing it for the betterment of this city and our county. And I just want you to make sure that you, I would encourage you to try to support it and see what you can do if that's not the most safe route. But there's been talks both ways, and they would like to speak with someone, so I'm hoping that you could connect the two if there are issues and we could work them out. I'd really hate to see a $1.5 million donation go away from Fort Madison.
It Thank doesn't you. Have to go away. There's other ways you can get there, or ask them to table it and consider it for later on. It was supposed to service the whole community that uses the hospital. I didn't see that includes people in Donaldson.
Okay. We're still discussing the proposed walkway. Does anybody else have any comments that you'd like to make on that?
This is Jenny Steffensmeyer. I don't know if folks can hear me. It is unfortunate that we're having this feedback in the background, but having said that, I definitely was able to hear the concerns voiced, and I'm glad I was able to be on the call to hear it. I've been on the port committee, and I concur with what Rachel said about the hard work and effort that the committee has put forth and the money donated. And I just want to second, again, what Rachel is urging, that we, you know, hopefully, you know, continue being informed and move forward for the better of the county and the community. It's why I joined the Port Trail, because I'm a resident of Fort Madison, and you know, I thought it was awesome that there's a group of people wanting to do something like this for the better of the community. So thank you to the Board of Supervisors for listening.
I'm for the betterment of the community, but the thing is, I live 25 feet from this. I see what goes on every day. And additionally, as far as the trail goes, you know, if it's that important, then there should be a better way and a safer way to do it, because just spending the money doesn't justify putting people's lives at risk. And how is the county going to maintain the roads this winter when they have salt that falls off of those trucks? Where's all that going to go? How are they going to maintain the hogweed that's going in that gully? I'm a victim of that, and I'm suffering blisters. So it's not as easy as just picking out a road and going up to the trail, because that's a shortcut to Rodeo Park. They really need to go back to the drawing board on that one.
Mr. Chair?
Ron?
Mr. Chair, this is Gary Folio.
Gary?
Yes.
Go ahead. You said, is this...
Okay. I know Ben, our engineer, has been working with the city on this, because we've had some concerns. And I would ask Ben if he is being involved in the design, because I know he had some concerns. And is this already done, or are you still working on this process?
Thank you, Gary. Yes, I have been involved, both in terms of constructing an agreement between the city and the county for the placement of the trail on county right-of-way, as well as in the design. I've received the latest design package yesterday. I'm still in the process of looking through it, but I can tell you I've been involved for some time with Mark in discussing certain design details to make sure it doesn't impede our maintenance. It doesn't offer any additional hazards for the motoring public. And I think at the same time, some changes that we've worked out together in the design are gonna enhance the safety of both the pedestrian traffic and the motoring public. So in the agreement, it will address things like vegetation management, which was just brought up. It is an acknowledgement by the city that during winter maintenance operations, you know, we really won't have any choice but to deposit some of the snow we're removing from the roadway on that trail. There are places, and Mark has been working really hard and we've been going back and forth, but there are places where we've moved the trail to make sure it's further away from the road and it won't impede shoulder maintenance or winter maintenance. So they are changing the design based off of my input and my collaboration with Mark. I believe that agreement will be put forward to you guys soon. And it will cover liability, you know, that the city will hold Lee County harmless. Now, I'm certain that wouldn't stop some lawyer from naming us in a suit anyway, but, you know, it's a give and take. And from my standpoint, I've been trying to just give input for safety and towards the county's liability and so forth, while, you know, working together to help this project happen. So there's a couple other things I would add my comments on that have been brought up. First off, I would say it is accurate. It is a highly traveled road as far as the county goes. I would not agree with the characterization of it as a narrow road. I don't think it is a narrow road. It's a 24-foot wide pavement, which is as wide as we have anywhere in the county, where we don't have paved shoulders that have recently been added for safety. The trail is not in any place proposed to be on private property, at least not in the county portion. It is all public right of way. As far as safety, you know, that is an issue and that's a concern, and that's always a balancing act. Anywhere you have roads, anywhere you have people, there will be accidents. And that's just a matter of fact, I believe. It seems to be on all of our roads. And we have had pedestrian accidents on other roads where you've got people walking on the shoulder or even on a road where there is no trail. The trails we do have in the county, if you're aware of, are at least on county roads, are on Bluff Road and Mississippi River Road. And these are really just paved shoulders. It's really just a wider road surface with 4.5 feet on either side. And they're only separated by a four inch white line. So while this trail, I would like it to be, I'd like all trails on a different alignment too in a perfect world, but we have to respect the rights of private property owners, and I believe that's a lot of what led to the chosen alignment. I wasn't involved in that portion of the planning, but I know that was an issue, that to take another route to Rodeo Park, the city would have had to exercise eminent domain, and I believe they took seriously respecting the rights of those private property owners that would have had their property taken from them. So you know, perfectly, you know, I'd like a trail to be 20 feet away from the road. But that being said, you know, we have the right of way and we have this generous donation. So I think we're just all working together to come up with the best design that we can. I do feel that the city has taken that seriously and has worked with us and made changes at our request.
I don't believe the city lives up there. And what is, what do we get from this? If somebody's trucks are splattered out, I mean, who's going to maintain this? We already, I picked up hogweed cleaning up trash that gets dumped up there on both sides of the road. And yes, they did spray when it was told what it was and stuff, but I suffered the blisters and the medical, and you know, that's going to keep growing. It doesn't go away. So who's going to take care of that? Who's going to take care of cleaning up? And do we get a fence so that we don't have any more annoyance and nuisance than we had before? Because, you know, we're not a quarter of a mile from this. We're a matter of feet from this proposed trail. And did they offer enough money to those people on the Peavine? Maybe they should go back and offer them a little bit more. I mean, that's a road up through there.
It's not a road. It's private property.
Well, it used to be the railroad, but it goes directly to the park. But did they offer them money for it? They just say, you know, our choice is eminent domain and we want to be nice and not do that. Did they offer them money? Did they?
I don't know.
Okay. I'd like to know if they offered them anything for that. And, you know, if it was a fair market price. Because it looks to me like it's nothing but a trail up through there. And secondly, again, like I said, you've got elderly people who now get more annoyance from the traffic, the foot traffic, and then the ATVs, the UTVs, that will get used. It's a 10-foot wide path they want to do. You can't tell me that you're not going to see golf carts, ATVs, and UTVs on there, because you already see them going up and down the county, and they aren't going gravel to gravel. They're finding their way down to 15th Street. But they're crossing over county roads to do it. And they're not coming off of gravel. You know, it's one thing to say it's a great thing and we're all for it. But when you don't live up here and you don't see it 24/7, it's just like the guy that drew up the plans. He lives in Cedar Falls. How does he know what goes on day and night? How about those little drug syringes? What are you going to do when some little kid picks up one of those and gets stuck with it? And that's not the first time we found them. I reported them to Stacy and we found them out at Rodeo Park and we turned them over to the police. Like I said, nobody's against the trail. It's just the wrong location. Why not come up, what is it, Denmark Hill Road, where there's very little traffic because the road is so bad, very few people use it. They could take it up through there across that empty field, or even they offered money to the guy up here with a blank field that he farms. I just don't think, I think they just assumed that everyone was going to be in love with this project. And again, when it doesn't get a lot of pedestrian traffic in the future, people, you know, the novelty's off, and then it becomes the racetrack, you're opening up a can of worms to traffic. Oh, everybody go out to the, you know, the park. And then we're stuck, again, as county residents, putting up with something the city of Fort Madison put on us. And I think that's a lot of it right there. We live in the county because we like the county. Well, I wanted to live in Fort Madison has enough to clean up. I looked at your brochures for tourism, the ones they're doing for tourism. It doesn't look like anything I see down there. So I just think that $1.5 million, yes, it's a lot of money. It's a nice grant. But maybe grab some interest off of it, go back to that foundation and say, you know, especially in this economy, too. That's the other thing. I think there's a better use of $1.5 million right now, especially when people at the hospital are getting laid off and their hours cut, that they could do with that money. And that, you know, they're not too happy about it either. So, again, you know, and I want to know who we call when we get somebody serves us with a lawsuit because it happens 25 feet from my property and they think I'm involved because maybe I should have called in when I see somebody on the roadway. You know, you're going to get involved. The county will get involved because people will sue and they'll name everybody within a 50-mile range. And you still have to pay, according to my lawyer, you still have to pay for legal until everything is settled and then you get reimbursement. So how does that come back? I don't think, you know, the trail was one thing they thought about, but I don't think they think about the long-term ramifications or the downside of it.
Okay, well, this is Ron Fender again, and I have received lots of calls, some for and some against it, probably about equal. And the main thing I understood from the people in the county, especially on Timber Lane Drive, that they like their privacy. That's why they either built a house there or bought a house there. and that they were there first. And if the trail had been there already before them, it would have been a different issue. But they just want their privacy. And, you know, that was the main issue. So I would just like to interject that from what I have heard. And I know there are people very passionate on those that are for and against it. And I did understand that the River Medical, on the generous donation they made, did not stipulate where the walkway had to be. They were just giving it as a gesture for keeping people healthy and having an opportunity to use that walkway. So saying that, I will turn it over to anybody else that talks, but please give your name so the recorder, the secretary, can have it in our records.
Ron, this is Rich Harlow.
Yes,
I wanted to ask Sheriff Weber his thoughts on this. And Sheriff Weber, have you had a chance to touch base with the Fort Madison Police Chief on this? Because, you know, we've been talking about safety quite a bit here.
I have not discussed this with the Fort Madison Police Chief, no.
What are your personal thoughts about it?
Well, I would agree with Ben on the fact that I don't believe it's a thinner road than anywhere else. That is a fact. I would also agree with the lady calling in that there will probably be issues and problems. But that's to be expected when you have population move into a more rural setting. There's going to be issues. As far as people dumping hypodermic needles, that's unfortunate. And we do everything we can do to try to curb that, but society needs to take that up as an issue themselves, not just leave it up to law enforcement. And if there are accidents, we will respond and try to help everyone that's involved and try to be proactive with the speeding. Just if, you know, don't get huffy when you get a citation, because you're going to get one. And finally, the trash, that is a ordinance pushed out by the city that the sheriff and the deputies cannot enforce. If there's things blowing from the back of a vehicle, we can issue a citation for littering. And when I was the interim chief, I did that myself on a Saturday. And I'm no longer the interim chief there. I can ask that the police chief address that again. But with the call volume today, guys, I don't know what the answer is for that. Everywhere you go near a landfill, there's trash blowing. It seems to be problematic everywhere. It is nice, Grant. I'd like to see walking trails everywhere. That's my opinion.
This is Jenny Steffensmeyer again. I wondered if I could ask a question. I'm just curious. I know that the trail there was lots of discussion and about what are the ramifications, what's the what could happen as far as vandalism and that sort of activity. Can anybody speak to if anything has occurred, or has there been an uptick in that sort of activity along the current trail that exists in that location?
So this is Nathan Unsworth, Lee County Conservation Director, and I guess I'll just jump in on here a little bit and talk about trails. First of all, I want to give the Port Group a lot of credit for the work they've done for trails in Fort Madison. I think they've done a great job of bringing trails to the community and kind of raising awareness locally. When it comes to this trail, obviously we need to address our safety concerns, and I'm glad that Val is bringing those up, and Nancy, those that live along that road. One thing about trails is that I was just on a trail this weekend riding a bike, my bike. There was no trash along those trails. Bikers that are out biking and exercising, they don't want to carry more things than they have to on their bike because that makes them work harder. So they pretty much, they're not dumping trash. You know, the trails in other parts of the state that go through rural areas, of course, you always have the bad actors, but for the most part, bikers and people using trails represent or want to continue to use those and want to see more of those. So they do their part to ensure that they are keeping the areas along the trails clean and safe for that matter. I would also argue that bikers and people using the trails are healthier people and probably not those that are using needles and for inappropriate activities. So I think some of those fears, whenever you build a trail, you have these fears come out, and that's because we don't have a trail there, so there's always the what ifs, and there's going to be some of those. But for the most part, you know, the trail I was on this weekend went through cornfields, and there was no trash along that trail anywhere. There's more trash along the secondary roads than there are along that trail. So I just wanted to bring that up. I think that's a really important point, that a lot of times we get worried about that when we have a trail going through a new area. But I think overall, most people find that those issues are not an actual issue. Now, when it comes to the safety of people using the trail and the on the road, I think that's a very important thing to have a discussion on. And I thank Ben and Mark and those that are working on this for looking at that. But I do want to clarify some of those points that, you know, sometimes I just don't think the statistics back up that concern there. So I just want to point that out. And I can say as a conservation director, you know, one of the top requests I get is for more trails in the county. And it's just a really challenging thing to accomplish here with the active railroads that we have and some missed opportunities maybe in the past to create a trail here. So I think anywhere we can, you know, get creative and put in a new trail is going to do a good thing for Lee County, and it's going to help retain and recruit a young workforce. And I would also point out that some people might not like a trail along their house, but the next person that buys it might appreciate living at a house with a trail along it. So there's just different ways to look at that, and I think it's important to consider all of those viewpoints as you move forward in this trail project.
You know, Nathan, that's really nice, and I thank you for the compliment. But again, my property values will probably go down. But the other thing to consider, too, is that most of the trash, again, a lot of it is comes from people throwing them out of the vehicles. I understand that, and dropping them off their loads that aren't covered. Because we're across from the park, you may notice there's a dump. And so a lot of stuff gets hauled up there and gets lost on the way along the roadside. Now, if you count to the county and ask them how many orange bags the Kellners and I have filled up in the last year or two when we go walking, and how many because they pick them up for us. They provide us this nice trash bags to pick it up. And you're talking about riding a bicycle, and I understand that. I ride a bicycle too. But you're going to have walkers there. Who's going to clean up when they start walking all their dogs up to the dog park that's up there that's using volunteers to clean up? Or their self-cleanup? Are they going to clean up, or do we have to have more, you know, stuff on the sidewalk part of this? Why has it got to be 10 feet and when other areas are only a sidewalk length? I mean, there's no definition of what this is going to get used for. This is what I'm saying. You're calling it a bike trail. They're calling it a walking trail. And to me, it looks like it's going to be a, you know, an SUV, UTV, ATV, whatever you want to call them, raceway. 10 feet's a lot of concrete. And maybe if they cut it down to match the others, they could go further or take a different direction. And what is the recourse that we get out of their $1.5 million, them to put up a privacy fence for the nuisance it creates for the people who are right along there? Because right now, we're the only two that actually are occupied there for that close to the road. The rest of it is going to be a hillside that's blank. You've got Bates, who's way up on the hill. He's not going to see it. But the Nolte's and myself are right there at the roadside. Even Johnson Construction, or Johnson, excuse me, Trucking. You know what? They're there from 8 to 5. They come and go. The cemetery, they're dead. So what about the two people that have to put up with this and have been putting up with, you know, we agreed to put up with the noise when we bought the place. We agreed to put up with the trash. We do, you know, there's certain things we do. But now you want to throw one more insult? And again, I like bicycling. I'm not against it. I just don't want it there. For A, the safety concerns, the nuisance concerns, the vandalism that will occur. We've had more people driving up through there that you don't even live up there. And they always turn around in my driveway or the Nolte's driveway when they get lost.
I don't want to interrupt anymore because I do want everybody to have the opportunity to speak. But we've been discussing this quite lengthy now for quite a while. And some of the things that we've discussed have been repeated and stuff. So we are not making any decision today. We've got a lot more information now from a lot of people, some for, some against it and stuff. But we must move on with the meeting because we do have other people waiting on other subjects. So I'll give one more person one more opportunity to speak, and then we're going to move on. So has anybody got any more that they would like to say?
Ron, I would like just to say something.
Yeah, Rick.
On this. And I've been on the board probably longer than anybody that's in the room here. And at various times, we had the opportunity to have a trail within the county. In fact, for one time, we had the railroad deeded back to the county land that they had the railroad track on, and we were going to put a trail in there. But because of fears of people that own property along there, they were not willing. They just wore the board down, and we didn't do it. And we sold, gave the land back to the property owners. And that was a big mistake. We should have never done that. Because my impression is that before this goes in, people have a lot of fears and things that are going to happen. But after it's there and people get used to it, they seem to get along with each other pretty well. So I think this right here, there are a lot of fears. I understand that. But, you know, if the city's going to grow, if the city's going to have, you know, people wanting to come to Fort Madison, this is just one thing that you can offer them, that there is a trail that goes completely through the city. And, you know, it may not bring a lot of people in, but it may be something that can be used as an attraction. So I would like to see this thing proceed and be passed by the board. I'm sure that the county and everyone else in the city will do everything they can to make it as safe as possible. I mean, nobody wants to see anybody hurt. So, but I think this is the point in time when we got to move on and do some things to make the city stronger, better, and more attractive. And I think this is one thing we got to do. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Rick. I know there was one thing that was brought up to me, and this will be the last thing I will talk about on this subject, is that a lot of people have told me that in Timberlane Drive, they're worried that once the city gets a walkway up to Rodeo Park in front of Timberlane Drive, that they will then try to annex Timberlane Drive into the city and that they would rather stay in the county. And if we could get some kind of agreement that would not happen, that would help some of them feel better and stuff. But anyway, we've talked about this now for over a half hour. So we got a lot of information and now we've got to move on. So is there anything under public input other than this walkway? Okay, thank you everybody for participating. We will now move on to the next item. Consider approval of Tuesday, June 23rd, 2020 board minutes.
I'll move, Harlow.
Second, Folio.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from Tuesday, June 23rd. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Next item is consider approval resolution appropriating funds.
This is our yearly resolution so departments can spend their money out of their budget. And doing 100%.
Folio, so move.
Second, Flug.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? A resolution, so we have roll call.
Folio.
Aye.
Flug.
Aye.
Carlo.
Larkin. Aye.
Aye.
Pedler.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. The next item on the agenda, consider approval of claims.
So moved.
Second. Larkin.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the claims. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carried. Next item on the agenda is number 9. Discuss and possible action of further opening of county building. Would anybody like to start the discussion?
This is Flug. I'd like to hear from the department heads and what they're thinking here. Could some of you weigh in on that, please?
Okay, does any of the department heads have anything they would like to have input in?
So far, everything is working with appointments at our office. The treasurer's office is probably the busiest, but ours is working fine with appointments at this time.
Is Chris on?
Yep.
I am. Appointments are working good. We're going to double up on how many people we get in, and then if you let people in and somebody doesn't show, we're going to try to work those people in line in too. But
so let's just talk about if we open the building. This is Flug again. Obviously, we would have a lot of people sitting together, right? If especially with the driver's license, look at that as far as people sitting close together in chairs. I mean, how would we go about handling that?
I don't know. Driver's license is going to be appointment only, and it's going to stay that way. That's what the DOT has told us to do. So we don't want all these people sitting out here together.
So we have to do what the DOT says, right?
So it'll be a problem if they don't have an appointment. We have worked people in if somebody doesn't show up. But they stand outside and wait, and we go get them.
Okay.
Because, you know, we can have 20 people in here for driver's license and another 15 per motor vehicle. So
I think that's going to be a problem if we open up the building, because then we're going to have that bottleneck of all those people sitting together. So, Chris, what you're saying is you think you're doing okay the way you're going right now?
Well, I mean, some people are not happy that they have to wait, but we only have so many employees. We can only wait on so many people, and, you know, we're behind. I mean, we've all caught up now on our work, and the appointments are going good. I think we have 2 or 3 every 15 minutes, unless they have 5 titles. And driver's license is doing good. She can, of course, only take 1 every 15 minutes or every half hour, but it seems to be going okay with us. I don't know how many complaints you've gotten, but
I've only had a few.
I just don't want people getting sick and standing in here together and talking, and I don't know.
Well, I think with the numbers,
until COVID gets better, we better.
Yeah. The numbers still going up. I think that we should take probably a hard look at maybe, you know, reviewing this every few weeks. I see Chris's concern. Is if we open the doors, we're going to have a lot of folks sitting together, and that's problematic. So I don't know what the other board thinks.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mary Ann Brown. Could I offer what the court's going to be doing here? The Supreme Court a month ago, issued directives that we would not have in-person court hearings across the state until July 13th. And they allow that any courthouses and then court facilities in counties where we could meet a safety checklist, and the courthouse front doors were open, we could open before that. So in our 8th district, we have 15 courthouses in 14 counties. And as of 10 days ago, we had court physically being held and people coming to the clerk's counter in 13 of the 15 courthouses. Every county except Washington County and then Lee County had the front doors of their courthouses open. Several of the courthouses in our judicial district, believe it or not, never locked the front doors ever during all of this. Some of them were open the entire time. But in the ones where we've opened and started having court services, our checklist included physically configuring every courtroom and clerk's offices so that people would be at least 6 feet apart from each other for any proceedings. And we also have gone through and removed chairs and hallways so that no one would be sitting closer, and have put blue painter's tape X's where people can sit, and have put up signs that say only stand or sit where you're designated. And what we've tried to do is still have very few in-person hearings, but gradually bring people back in to safely be able to go to the clerk counter and be in court for in-court hearings that need to be held. And the directive, though, is that as of July 13th, we need to be open to the public to provide services in person across the state. So by next Monday, we're going to need to be able to have court in person in both Lee County courthouses. We've done it in the Northeast County courthouse already since we're the only people there. But in South Lee County, we're going to need to start having in-person hearings and people coming to the counter by next Monday, or starting next Monday.
Your Honor, this is Gary Folio. How is the state going to manage who comes in, or who is in the building?
In the other counties, in some counties have had a checkpoint where the public health nurse has been there to take temperatures and ask questions. That's happened. And I said, in some courthouses, the doors have never been shut. In Wapello County, they never shut the doors. I mean, they've been open from the get-go, people walking in there from March on. What we have done is that we have signs up, and we've directed lawyers that if they or their clients have the symptoms, you know, we list what the CDC has as their symptoms or conditions, that they're not to come in the building. We won't let them in court. We're going to screen people and ask them those questions. And we are telling all of our judges to change their scheduling, so we will have what we always called cattle call days, where you have 30 people come in at once. We're spreading those out during the day and during the week, so we have fewer people that were recorded at any point in time, so we can check those things and monitor those things. And we've got cleaning supplies in every courtroom to clean the tables and the chairs after people have been in there before people come in.
Well, thank you. Did we, Ms. Fluke, didn't we talk about a partition going up on the Blondo side where folks coming into the courts, you know, obviously couldn't come over out of the building? Wasn't there, once the courts did open?
Yeah, this is Denise. I've been talking with Stacy, and I think that got it worked out where we have a security guard on the Blondo side, and he'll take temperature and he'll ask the COVID question. The hospital have these symptoms. That's the only door that we're going to open, a way we can keep them out of the, from just wandering in. And we can limit the amount of people that come into the county side too by doing that. Is that going to work? Have the Blondo open?
The only question would be about handicapped accessibility and restrooms for public. The rest of the courthouse isn't open.
Yeah, I know.
In the restrooms upstairs, is that?
Well, there's, yes, a men's public restroom. There's an employee's restroom on third floor. And then there's restrooms in the jury room, which is a little problematic because that's where we probably would socially space people to be away from other people in the jury room. And so having them go in there and use those restrooms is a little challenging, but
Okay, the public can't use that employee restroom? Because I think it was open to
I think we would prefer not. We never have had the public use that restroom. Kim can speak to that maybe better.
We closed that down a few years ago. They said because of health concerns, all the, you know, diseases, basically. I know the girls down on first floor have a employee-only restroom, so that's why we have an employee-only restroom on the third floor as well. I don't recall the CDC saying anything about restrooms not being open to the public, and my colleagues that I've spoken with in the other county buildings, all their restrooms are open and functioning, to my knowledge.
Okay, how are they?
So I don't know what the restroom issue would be.
Yeah, are they going in periodically and cleaning them, Kim? Or
no, because there's stalls in the restrooms. I've put signs up in the restroom in Fort Madison that say to face yourself to 6 feet, and then they just clean at the end of the day. So I'm assuming that's what. How they're doing it as well up there. When I asked them if anybody was cleaning restrooms when they were coming in and out, it was no. Everybody was open. I know Henry County, they're doing walk up for their tags. I think everybody is open, to my knowledge, except for these buildings here. And I'm not sure, Judge, can we open if only one door is unlocked?
Well, I don't know how we do handicapped accessibility. We have to be accessible to handicapped.
Okay, this board has got to make a decision on any further action of possibly opening. And I would like the board to know as much facts as they can on this virus. And as it goes along, I'm hearing more and more information, even people that do survive the virus and some have maybe very minimal effects. There was a doctor on MSNBC News the other night that said they're having kidney, lung, and neurological damage from the virus. There was another doctor on that said that there was permanent scar tissue on lungs that would, all these would be there for the rest of their lives. So I would really caution the board to make sure that we try to keep this as safe as possible and know these facts, that just because you survived it doesn't mean everything will be normal again, that you may have permanent side effects. And that's because they just still don't know all the effects from the virus. It is serious and life-threatening, and it also may have permanent side effects even if you do survive. So I'm not saying I'm not in favor of maybe expanding and stuff, but I'm saying that we should be cautious and then not just open all the doors and act like everything's back to normal. So anyway,
I agree 100%, and that's, we're functioning in a totally different way than we ever have before. We're working with all the sheriffs, and we're not doing any inmates in the courthouse in the district. Except for a rare, there may be a first-degree murder we might bring to the courtroom for something or other. But all we're doing go-to meetings for all criminal hearings, even in those courthouses where we're open, so the sheriffs aren't required to be transporting those folks back and forth to the courthouses. You know, so you're right. We have to work, but we have to work smart.
Now, thank you very much, Judge Brown. I appreciate all your input. You've really informed the board a lot, you know, about the court system and what your plans are and stuff. And I know the virus is bad, but we just cannot stop functioning when it comes to law enforcement, the judicial system, all the functions, you know, that the county offices do. But I think we have so far really worked well with trying to keep it as safe as possible. But I just want everybody to be aware that if you get the virus and you do survive, you may have permanent side effects for the rest of your life. So that's how serious this is. And so,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Can I speak for just a moment?
Sure. Go ahead, Stacy.
Judge Brown, to answer the the remarks you had regarding the handicap accessibility. What my thoughts were was to lock that door and put a sign prominently displaying a phone number to contact the person that I have assigned inside the building, or the clerk of court, who could then have the court security person make arrangements to go down and let them in and escort them to wherever they needed to go. On, you know, I don't know how often that gets used with folks that need it, but I think that's probably the only way we'll be able to solve that, would be to control the access and then make, have them make phone calls to have them be escorted from point A to point B.
Sheriff, what's your plan about the security? I think, I don't know if I heard Denise say something somewhere, I didn't understand it because of the connection, but are you planning on having somebody for courthouse security there all day long at that Fondo entrance then, or not?
So my, what we've done, the auditor and the board of supervisors have been working with me. We've created basically a new job within the county that will be a temporary position. We're calling it county security. They'll be armed, and their duties would be to screen folks coming in for the COVID symptoms, also make sure that they are on the list for appointments, and of course deal with people that do decide to just walk in, or not know that they have to make phone calls, just like the treasurer talked about. And just to have someone to be the go-to person, the contact person when they first walk in, and be able to direct people, and if they need to, keep them outside and have only one person at a time within the lobby or vestibule area there, and then direct them from there. So it's kind of fluid right now. We're just working on it. In fact, we still have one more opening. I have an interview this afternoon with a fella to get these positions done. And then we have some training to get them through before they're actually to be on post next week. So, but everyone's working well and moving it along quickly. So you'll be very well protected.
That's wonderful. Will that be in Northley also? Will you have someone in Northley also?
Yes, ma'am, eventually.
Okay. So then we will be able to do full public service on first floor, and then our people can come on upstairs, third floor at Southley.
Yes, ma'am. That is the plan. As it stands, this will be a different department than your court security. Your court security folks will still do their jobs as needed, and this group will be work alongside them, just augment them, and hopefully this works out and the COVID-19 goes away or subsides a little bit. Who knows? I watch the news too, Ron, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Gary Folio. And when I talked to you about having putting this on the agenda, and then we had a department head that Thursday, Nathan Unsworth, our conservation director, he brought up a spray that they use in cleaning the restrooms and facilities as people use them. And in my thinking, in working with the court system to get a person on the door that would alleviate entrance to our buildings, they would have to have a appointment. Chris has been adamant, and the DOT is adamant about having the appointments, and I think that's been working. But every time one of the girls have to get up and go to the door, it's taking away from their work. So I thought if we appropriate funding somewhere, that the board has this discussion, and have someone on that door, it's going to alleviate a lot of the problem with people just coming in. But we can limit how many people are in this, in our buildings, and take temperatures. And I would like to see us move towards that in getting our buildings open. limited access, obviously, and some controlled entrance. When someone comes out, they let another person in. But with the appointment system, it's been working very well with Chris's department. The bathrooms and things like that, I think that we can work something out in dealing with the spray that Nathan is talking about. And maybe we have somebody that every hour or something comes in and sprays it, and it's or 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever. The my understanding is the spray has to stay on 15 minutes. Is that correct, Nathan?
Yeah, we aren't using it here, but a lot of other county conservations have been using it. So a lot of them have recommended that to others. And it does sound like it's one of those things that you spray and let it dry, and then it's disinfected for, you know, a while anyway. So
I think, Gary, what you're saying is you're open the building, but you're not opening the building. I guess I'm hearing kind of
limited access, Matt.
But I'll tell you, like Ron says, this is a very serious thing. And I guarantee you, I wouldn't be coming in under those conditions. You know, I think if it's working now, I think we should continue what we're doing.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for your input. And I'll give a consideration, Gary, about putting your suggestion on the agenda. But we will also have to, if it's a new position, get with the budget director on the funding of it. There is one more thing I would like to add that they have just discovered about the virus. It was on MSNBC News again last night, and the mayor of Atlanta recommended that they get tested for the virus, even though they had no symptoms. And the mayor tested positive without any symptoms, none at all. And so testing for a fever or, other things that they're talking about doesn't mean you don't have the virus. And that's what is so complicated about it, is that it's something that we've never dealt with before. And there's always the fear factor when you can't see it or touch it. It scares people. Now, another thing they came out with was they said that if people sneeze or cough, the virus drops very rapidly to the floor or the area in front. And it'll go out, but 6 feet separation is highly recommended. So anyway, it's on the
agenda today. I agree with all of the above said, and I understand it's a very, very serious issue. But I also want to say that we do work for the public. We do have to function everyday lives. We do have to go to Hy-Vee, to Walmart, to get grocery stores, and the virus is everywhere. And I just feel like we do work for the public, and that's what we need to keep in mind.
Okay, well, getting back to the agenda now, the discussion of possible action or further opening of county buildings. I think we've heard quite a bit, from the court system, and the court system is different than other counties in that the building is the county's and the employees are the state. And so you guys can, and the court system can basically open, whatever you decide to do, and that we would cooperate with you in trying to keep it as safe as possible. Is that acceptable?
That's how it's always worked, that the code requires the county to provide the court a facility to work in and provide service to the public. And at this point in time, starting on July 13th, we're required to do that in person. We had not been doing that in person across the state until that date. So we need a facility to provide in-person services starting July 13th statewide, including South Lee County. And one of the requirements that we have, that the signs will be up, are that people have to wear masks anytime they're in a public area, in courthouse, court facilities. The people working at their desks in their own little offices don't have to have a mask on, but when they're walking in the hallway or running in the courtroom, people will be able to park in their van.
Okay, well, I would really like to entertain a motion to keep the county offices basically the way they are, at the discretion of the department heads, and that we cooperate with the state and the judicial system on opening up the courtrooms, and the county do what it can to help the courts be as safe as possible from this virus. Okay, we have a motion by Rick.
Second by Harlow.
Okay, we have a motion and a second by Rich Harlow. Okay, is there anybody that would like to input any more discussion into this?
Okay, just Denise, yes, I'm clear. We're just opening up on the go, correct? So that people can get up to the, they can go up the elevator or up the stairs to the courts, and that's it, right?
Yeah.
So it's like limited access.
Okay, does everybody understand now?
Are you,
the motion and proposal is,
are you going to leave the stairs closed or just have one way access?
What would you do?
I can't hear what was said.
Okay, he just wanted to know if we were going to leave the stairs closed or one-way access or what.
I think we ought to have one-way access.
We have to be open.
Well, I thought we talked about opening the Blondo doors.
Yeah.
Got to be open. That's an easy one. I mean, that's how they got to get in. So.
Okay. Right.
So that's part of working
with. One up to third floor or second floor?
We would need the stairs and the elevator both open. I think some people will be uncomfortable getting in an elevator. I wouldn't get in an elevator right now, to tell you the truth. But some people physically have to have an elevator, though.
And we put up some type of barrier where they can't cross over towards the other side of the building. I mean, that's pretty easy.
You don't even need that. There's a door to lock, isn't there?
So if they come in the Blondo side, they can go either way. They can go up to the courts or go over to the treasure side. There needs to be some type of barrier there that they can't go over there.
Hey Matt, it's something.
I'm sorry.
Just put a police tape. Do not cross this line across, so that the Blondo entrance and exit will be for court purposes, and anybody wanting to use county purposes use the other entrance. But right. Just a piece of police tape, you know. Do not cross this line.
Okay.
The tape will get broke every time we have somebody needing the handicapped accessible door.
The sheriff's going to help us on that, aren't you, Sheriff?
Well,
Your Honor, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think they've kind of lost their way here. There needs to be someone staffing this, or it's going to get messed up.
Yes.
The board needs to allocate the funds for me to hire these folks to protect the court and employees.
Absolutely.
I agree with you, Stacy, and we can get that done too.
Judge, is there any money from the state that can help with this?
No, because it's part of the facility. We, of course, are getting budget cuts July 1. We're reduced funding already for next fiscal year from what we were last fiscal year.
Okay. You're in the same shape we are, Mary Ann. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any more discussion? On such an important issue, let's have a roll call.
Larkin.
Aye.
Harlow.
Aye.
Khalil.
Aye.
Flug.
Aye.
Fiddler.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you, everybody, and especially thank you, Judge Brown, for participating. It was very helpful. Okay.
Thank you for the invitation.
Okay. You can get back to work, huh?
That's right. Thanks, folks.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is number 10, discuss and consider approval of Southeast Iowa Link Statement of Understanding with Lee County for regional designated work associated with Fund 10.
Good morning, everybody. So what you have before you is the statement of understanding that's completed every year. Basically, it is the communication that goes back and forth between the county members of the region and the region governing board that solidifies the use of county employees to do region designated work. So for Lee County, we actually have two full-time positions, myself included, and two partial 50% time allocated to region work. The other 50% is allocated to general assistance, rep payee services. So basically, this is just the statement of understanding that everybody knows that the budget has already been solidified at the county level as well as the region level. It's just to make things crystal clear of who's doing what work and where they're located when they're doing the work.
Ryan, do you see the budget changing at all with the COVID-19?
So we have experienced a delay in property tax revenues hitting in some of our member counties. And we anticipate that that will probably continue to some degree. We have sufficient fund balance as it stands now to get us through the first quarter. We budgeted that way. And have the fund balance there to be available, but we will know more in September, October, once we see what is kind of the natural progression of the tax dollars registering in county coffers.
Thank you.
Yep.
Well, I would make the motion.
Go ahead, Gary.
I would make the motion for approval of Southeast Iowa Link Statement of Understanding.
And I would second it.
Okay, we have a motion. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. The next
Thank
item,
you.
Number 11. Consider awarding contract for project number HSIP-SWAP-CO56-108-FJ-56, installation of safety countermeasures at 15 locations and authorizing county engineer to execute contract.
Thank you, Ron. So this is a project we've talked quite a lot about over the last couple of years, to be the safety countermeasures project. This would be traffic controls upgrades for 15 intersections through the county. It includes the intersection of J62 and Highway 218 in Charleston. As you're aware, these were intersections, with the exception of the one I just mentioned, that were all identified in our local road safety plan, which was a consultant-led study to identify the areas in the county that pose a higher safety risk, and also to identify the most cost-effective or low-cost systemic improvements we could make at those. So, we've talked about this quite a bit, unless there are other specific questions about what the project entails. I would tell you that this project let on June 20th, and we had two bids. The low bid by Advanced Traffic Control Incorporated was for $261,914.55. There was a second bid by Iowa Plain Signing Incorporated for $324,849.75. There's a grant from the state paying for $183,000 of this project. If approved, there's a late start date of September 14th for the contractor to begin work, but it should be done this year. And that's all I have right now. I would ask you or recommend that you approve this contract and ask if there are any questions.
Ben, do you want to approve the contract for the low bid?
Yes, Ron.
Okay, thank you.
I move that we approve it for the low bid, Luke.
Second by Harlow.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the bid from the low bidder for the awarding this contract. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Next item on the agenda is consider approval of plan for project number BROSCHBP-CCO56-107-NC56, replacement of bridge 84 over Mud Creek. Ben?
Thank you, Ron. This is a project we're also awarded a federal grant for. So this bridge is on 190th Street, as you said, over Mud Creek, and that would be in between X-38 and J-50. It's a bridge in need of replacement. The federal grant we've been awarded will cover up to $436,960. Right now, we have an estimate on this project of $554,446. The remainder, what the federal grant does not cover, will be covered out of our bridge replacement funds. It will not be local funds to come out of our Lee County Secondary Road Fund. Right now, this is scheduled for an October of 2020 letting. So I would ask that you guys approve the final plans.
So moved, Luke.
Second, Larry.
Second, Polio.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carried. Next item is consider approval of addendum to salt storage sharing agreement with Iowa DOT, City of Fort Madison, for a period of 5 years.
Thank you. As I'm sure you know, our salt storage facility is a shared facility in Donelson. It's in the Iowa DOT yard. So we share it with the DOT and also with the City of Fort Madison. And all three entities originally contributed financially to its construction 20 years ago. At that time, there was an agreement to share and operate that facility for a period of 20 years. So that is expiring right now. And we've been meeting with the state. Gary's been at some of those meetings for about 6 months to make sure that everybody is in agreement and happy with the way it's operating. And I think all of the parties have agreed they would like to extend the agreement and continue to operate as we have been. So what's before you is to extend the expiring agreement for a period of 5 years. It has been reviewed by Ross and did not have any legal concerns.
I would make that motion. We've been working on this. I think this started about 5-6 years ago. Started talking about this, everybody seems like they're getting along fine, and the DOT is satisfied, and I think we're satisfied with it, and the city of Fort Madison is satisfied with it.
Second, Flug.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Do we have any opposed? Motion carried. Next item, we consider approval of third reading of publication of floodplain ordinance.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? This is an ordinance, so roll call.
Larkin.
Aye.
Polio.
Aye.
Flug.
Aye.
Carlo.
What was, yes, aye.
Aye.
Fetler.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. This was the third and final reading, so it does now have passed. So the next item is consider approval of ambulance advisory board. This is a board that was put together by the auditor, and I reviewed it, and I have no problems with it.
Contractually, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Contractually, they're charged with going over the financials, the monthly financials of the existing ambulance service. And then also, if you look at this, these people have a lot of experience in emergency management, and I'm gonna lean on their experience so we can, you know, they can help me transition from what we have now to a county run service next July. So we have a meeting set up for Thursday right now, just to kind of get acclimated, and then we'll probably meet monthly.
So move, Flug.
Do we have a second?
Second, Larkin.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Can you name the advisory board?
Sure. Amanda Burgess. She's right now she's the director of quality and safety at Fort Madison Community Hospital. She worked in the ER for the past 7.5 years. She works closely with EMS services over Tri-County area, and she's an active member of the Regional Healthcare Coalition and the Local County Coalition. Dr. Philip Carapresso, he's a retired surgeon at the Tech, and he has also been on our past ambulance boards. He has a wealth of knowledge. Jason Dinwiddie, he is the emergency management coordinator. The Montrose Fire Chief. He's an investigator for West Point Donelson PD. He's been an EMT since 2001, and he's also a member of the PSAP board. Sarah Helen Fall, she's an administrative assistant in my office. Got her accounting degree from Southeastern Community College this year. She's always worked in a wide variety of accounting positions, and she's previously worked in the banking world. She'll probably be in charge of the financials part of it. Joey Heron is the Fort Madison Fire Chief. Ashley Horseman, she's employed at Fort Madison Community Hospital. She's the interim director of the ER Annex Cardiopulmonary and Emergency Management. She served as a EMT while obtaining her nursing degree. She has a bachelor's degree from Cumberland College of Nursing. Shelley Marshall, Director of Emergency Services, Clinical Care, and most of the Director of Emergency Preparedness, the Trauma Program Manager. She is an ACLS and ALS instructor, a nurse, and house supervisor at New Point Health in Keokuk. She obtained her nursing degree from SCC in Keokuk. Danielle McMillan.
She's a clinical pharmacist at Great River Health, an EMS officer for Weaver Fire and Rescue, firefighter. She's an EMR for West Point Fire and Rescue. Gabe Rose is the Keokuk Fire Chief. Travis Solemn is the Lee County Director. He's got 20 years of dispatch experience and dealing with privatized as well as fire department ran ambulance services. And Jim Steffen, he's the EMS program coordinator and paramedic faculty for SED. He's a former operations supervisor for Henry County for roughly 9 years, former director of Henry County Health Center for 4 years, before taking his current position with SED. He obtained his bachelor's degree in education from Bellevue University. He's worked in EMS since 1988. Former paramedic, operations supervisor, and service director at Henry County Health Center. He attended numerous EMS leadership and quality academies with focus on EMS program leadership. These people are more than qualified.
Yeah, I think we have a nice, diverse group of people, you know, to oversee this. And so we do have a motion and a second. Do we have any more discussion?
Just quick, that's 10 total on that board or on that.
Can you say that again, Matt?
How many people was that? Is that 10 folks you have on that? Total?
11.
11. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do we have any more discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Next item on the agenda is consider approval of extended fiscal agent agreement with PSAP.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. The next item is consider approval of extending fiscal agent agreement with Drug Task Force.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Next item, consider approval of reappointment of Tom Popeater to Library Board.
So moved, Carla.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Do we have any opposed? Motion carried. The next item, consider approval of Class C liquor license for Ridgewood Lounge, Fort Madison.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. The next item, consider approval of Class C liquor license for Green Bay Bottom Up Weaver.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next item, consider approval of Class C liquor license for East West Hideout Montrose.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Next item is personnel action A, new hire health department 2, and these are replacements.
So moved. So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Next item is number 23 reports. A, commission of Veterans Affairs minutes of the meeting. B, Commission of Veterans Affairs quarterly report. C, auditor's report of fees collected. D, recorder's report of fees collected. And E, treasury semi-annual report. These are reports, so they take no action. The next item is commission and committee reports. Rich Harlow.
Yes, sir. We had a Children First meeting, a good one, on the 29th of June. All of our meetings are being conducted by Zoom, and we continue to be available to all providers. We have three new daycare applications for Lee County. On the funding from the state of Iowa, it's looking right now status quo funding from the Iowa legislature. The good news is we are stable in our area with children. And our next meeting is the last. We voted to have our meetings on the last Monday of the month at 1 o'clock. And our next meeting is August 31st at 1 o'clock. That's all.
Thank you, Rich. Matt?
We had a Zoom meeting on the GCAT committee that I serve on. I apologize, I walked out of the house to bring my agenda on that, but business as usual. That's all I have.
Thank you, Matt. Gary?
Last Thursday, June 25th, we had an executive board meeting with Southeast Iowa Regional Planning. We will have one more executive board meeting next month, and then we'll be making a full recommendation for business that we've worked on to the full board in the month following. We had a department head meeting last Thursday at 1:30. The topic of discussion obviously was the opening of the buildings, pros and cons. The gazebo committee in Keokuk that was damaged by a motor vehicle. They have gotten some proposals. They got that to me last night about 9:45. I'll be reviewing those today and talking with Denise and trying to get everything up to what they're planning for the gazebo in Keokuk in Estes Park. Wednesday, we got a Restore Lee County meeting tomorrow at 9 a.m. And then the 8th, we're going to have our first meeting with connectivity mapping for Lee County. That's a new thing that we're establishing through Lee County Economic Development Group. That's all.
Okay, thank you, Gary. Rick?
Okay, I also attended that Renew Lee County meeting, and they are going to have a additional meeting next Wednesday, for this Wednesday, on Connect Lee County. And it's about broadband.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll be doing that. Then I have a regional mental health meeting, same time as that meeting. And it's in Mount Pleasant, and it can be either by Zoom or by being there.
Are you going to have two computers with both meetings up? Or?
Well, I'll do one. You know, this one they said would last for, what, half hour? So that means it can go on for an hour, hour and a half. So I'm going to need someone to fill in for me up there, and then I'll join their meeting as soon as this one's over. And let's see, we had several workforce development meetings. And, when you have Zoom, it don't take very much to have a meeting. You have a meeting every day. If you really work at it and want to get things done. And that has left a lot of people sort of, how are you getting things done so quick? And, one day you do say, we're going to do this. Today we're voting on it. As long as we meet the timelines, perfectly. Able to do it, but it does keep you busy. So that's it from this time.
Okay, thank you, Rick. I did not have any meetings since our last meeting, but I was flooded with phone calls on two issues. the opening and discussion of county offices and the walk trail that is being proposed in Fort Madison to Rodeo Park. And so some of them were quite lengthy, but that was part of the job. Tomorrow, I have a rush meeting in Mount Pleasant at 12:30. And that's all I have for report. Anybody have anything they would like to add? Okay, hearing none, the next item is to adjourn.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Do we have anything for workshop? Denise says no, so everybody have a good day. I guess we paid the price for not having a meeting last week, but that's okay. We still got the time off, and I think everybody did a break, and now we're back to doing our business. So everybody have a great weekend and find a cool place.
Sayonara.